Welcome, my friends, to Scry Me a River, the gaming advice podcast. I'm Riley.
I'm Dennis.
And we're here to solve your problems, Dennis. I'm very tired, but I'm the good sort of tired. I'm the sort of tired that's like, man, I've had a good day, and I don't have anything left in the tank because I've just had that good. I've had a good week, man.
So Riley, let clue people in. Where are you? You are writing your messages to me, and then pass them at the window to a young boy on a horse, and you're saying post haste, and he's rushing off into the distance with them, right?
Exactly, clopping over the cobblestones on Heidelberg Castle. I'm actually rather boringly in a hotel near the castle, but now I'm in Heidelberg in Germany. I got on one of those their aeroplanes, Dennis. For the first time,
been a while, yeah.
That's been a long time since I've done that. I've flown to Germany, and I'm hosting the coverage of Red Bull Wallalo 5, this massive Age of Empires tournament that is taking place in a literal castle, dude. And it has been incredible. It has just been incredible, and I've had the best week that I've had for 18 months easily.
It's been crazy. Like, if you haven't tuned in, these playoffs are still going on for another week after this, right? Like, people listening to the podcast still have time to watch, right?
The weekend, yeah. If you listen to this when it comes out, you will be... I mean, as it comes out, the fourth day will be wrapping up, and then we have a day off on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, you should get across it. It's huge. Like, competitive Age of Empires is just wild. And even if you played Age of Empires as a kid like I did, you're going to have at least something of an idea of what's going on. But the skill that these players have is... baffling. You don't when you watch PV, you can be told he's good, but the way he moves the cards isn't any better than anyone else.
It's not that
else,
different
right?
than the way I shuffle my deck, right?
Exactly, yeah. Right? It's the way he thinks, obviously. It's the plans that he puts together. It is just technically amazing to see the way that there's like the skill these players have in terms of how they manipulate this game and bend it to their will. It's incredible. But Dennis, I can't explain what it is like to be back doing live events, man.
Having spoken to Riley, you know, probably I would say on average every other day over the last 18 months, there's a good stretch where it was every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your mood is noticeably different these last 3 days than it has been any time in the last year and a half.
I mean, you say noticeably different as if it was like, oh, yeah, you can kind of notice it. Like, this is night and day, dude. It's night and day. I live for this, man. I live for it. The energy of a live production with the zip and zap people going around, like the frantic, almost panicked pressure of you're live in 10 seconds, like that sort of thing. I live for it. And being back here doing this, it's reminded me of like what I love about like the career I have, because I mean so many people, I'm not trying to say that I had the unique struggle or anything over the last 18 months, but so many of us have been struggling with our jobs, and to get to experience just for a week, man, you know, just for a week, like what this is all about is for me. I can't describe it properly. It's just been huge, and I'm exhausted for a different reason as well. It's not just like this. So I'm just not just like drunk on feeling like great about this. I've also been wearing about 20 kilograms of medieval armor because we're
doing the costuming has been pretty outrageous. Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's so funny. So they organized all of these costumes for us. They got like a guy, like a, you know, one of these people who is like super into old costuming and all that sort of stuff. And he came in, and like all the costumes are as historically accurate as they can be. Like, there's no Velcro, dude. There are buttons.
Oh, what? Wow.
No. Like, they're legit, man. Like, it's all shapeless tunics and belts and stuff like that. So I've been in robes and slash doublets and high boots, and today I got into some leather armor, and I tell you what, it is not, I mean, Dennis, not built for comfort, that stuff.
No, built for stopping you getting stabbed.
It's not built for comfort. But yeah, the setting, like the stages are all old style, a couple of anachronisms in there, but whatever. It's the bizarrest, most incredible, opulent, wonderful show I think I've ever done. You know, most shows are just done out of a production studio, a theater, or you know, a convention center, and they're great, they're fun, like the energy in them is fantastic, but the atmosphere is completely different from this one. What's it been like as a viewer? Have you enjoyed it?
It's surreal seeing you like come on screen, like standing on this like battlement with your like what I can only describe as a Robb Stark cosplay, going, welcome to Wallalo. It's otherworldly. Like, it is a if Red Bull spent any more money on this event, I think the competitors would have been commanding actors around a courtyard to, you know, chop down trees and run at each other with swords.
I mean, you've seen they hired actors to play villagers. Like, there are people there are people cosplaying AoE villagers, and they've been the ones who are like helping out as sort of like moving the draft pieces and all that sort of stuff around. It's an absolute spectacle. It's an absolute spectacle. If you haven't watched it already, get across it this weekend. Go back and watch the VODs if you listen to this later, because, you know, even if you have no interest in Age of Empires, just the spectacle of this event is wild. So, anyway, how's your week been, Dennis? What have you been up to?
Well, Riley, that's a careful segue. You ready for this?
Oh, really? Is this going to lead to a sponsorship message for channelfireball.com?
Well, we have a slightly weird sponsorship message this week for channelfireball.com.
Really? Okay. This is not me feigning. Yeah. Like, I'll be honest with the listener here. A little bit less preparation for this episode rather than usual, because I came
back. It is 11:30 where Riley is right now.
back to the castle after 14 hours at work. I'm like, we can get that. We can get a podcast in the can. No worries at all. So what have you got cooking for us, Dennis? Let me know.
Well, here's the thing, Riley.
Go on.
As of this morning, you can't go to chanfobble.com to buy your Magic the Gathering singles.
Oh, well,
they're gone.
That puts paid to the little soliloquy I had ready to go. Best place to buy and sell your cards on the internet. It's no longer that. Okay.
Excellent. No longer.
Is there a reason for that? Or is that what we just done? Is channelfireball.com over?
No, in 2 weeks, Riley, we're going to be in marketplace land. Mm-hmm. And so, look, sell channelfireball.com, Pokemon singles, special singles, sealed product for all sorts of games. But the real kicker, in 2 weeks' time, it's going to be a marketplace where you can shop and support local game stores that you love. And Riley, you know what else we announced?
Go on.
Marketplace Madness, baby.
Market? Oh, no. Okay. This doesn't surprise me. Like, even, like, at least they're honest, dear listener. Like, when they say, madness. Oh, it's da-da-da madness or it's whatever lunacy, like, they mean it. These promotions are always utterly ridiculous, and so I'm very interested to learn what you've cooked up last time. Because last time, like, I don't know, you gave away, like, boxes and power and, like, you know, Huey Jensen would come and mow your lawn.
That was a really popular item, actually.
Everyone wanted that one. So what is it this time?
So, Riley, all you got to do this time, and this announcement of an announcement here, you ready? You can't even do this yet.
Oh, wow. Taking a leaf out of the Wizards of the Coast,
marketing playbook. Okay.
Yep.
Once the marketplace launches,
okay,
every $10 you spend is an entry into marketplace madness.
This is buy list bonanza all over again.
Yeah, but it's the other way around. Now you're spending money.
Oh, this is how you get us. This is how they get you. First time, it's like, oh, buy list bonanza. Here, we'll give you power if you buy. We'll give you money, and then we'll give you prizes for letting us give
it
you
is
money.
It is like in Skyrim when you pay for archery lessons, then you pickpocket them out of the person's pocket and pay for the same lessons again. And it's exactly the same thing.
This is how they get you. Channelfireball.com. Is there any length to which they will not stoop to part you from your hard-earned money?
Well, I have our prizes here for week one.
Well, what are the lengths that you're going to part people from their money this time, Dennis? That's what I want to know.
So every day in week one, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're giving away a box of Innistrad Midnight Hunt set boosters.
Okay, yeah, that's
a Pokemon already. Evolutions Elite Trainer box.
Oh, it doesn't stop. Okay, yep.
A Monarch Unlimited box.
All right.
And a Yu-Gi-Oh! Blazing Vortex booster box. Come all.
come all. 10,000 different cards being given away each day. All right, okay, that's number one, yep.
Over the weekend, we take a break from the cards.
Okay.
Every $10 spent, and here's the beauty, right? If you spend $10 on Monday, you're entered into the draw on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and for the whole month of October.
Wait, what? With one purchase?
Mm-hmm. Get in early.
So the earlier you spend the money, the more, like, you get...
The more giveaways you get in on,
You get, like, 30 raffle tickets, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, but what are you giving away on the weekends?
On the weekends?
A Toyota Corolla.
No.
Two Toyota Corollas.
$100 store credit.
Oh, couldn't think of anything.
No, hang on, right. We're getting there.
All right, okay. It's like when you turn up at a birthday party for a teenage cousin, you're like, I don't know, dude, what do you want? $50? Here you go.
Yeah, well, this is $100. Okay. Five times on Saturday, five times on Sunday.
All right, yep.
And then, so that's just week one. We haven't even announced it's coming out for week two, week three, week four.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
There's one other thing that is being given away in week one that I didn't mention, Riley.
What is it?
Which is
some a Toyota Corolla.
No, it is some foil soul rings signed by the latest podcast brought under the Channel Fireball umbrella.
The Command Zone.
The Command Zone.
Holy moly.
We are now probably only the second best podcast.
Now we're only the second, on the most, podcast the second most listened to and popular podcast on the net, on the Channel Fireball network.
But here's the deal.
It's we close, now, though. I'm thinking about it. It's very close.
We are one step closer to getting Jimmy and Josh on Screamy River.
Do you reckon we've now... I don't want to do that. I'm so scared. I'm scared of Jimmy, but I'm still scared of Josh, dude.
Jimmy's on Dungeons and Daddies, man.
Then I'm only one... Hang on. This is me getting closer and closer. There'll only be like 2 degrees of separation from them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right, okay, I like that.
You're in spitting distance of Anthony Birch at this stage.
And that's all I hope to be. So signed soul rings from Jimmy and Josh.
Signed foil promo soul rings from Jimmy and Josh, yes. But also one more thing.
Oh, my goodness. Dan, this is going to be the whole podcast.
I know, right? We're 12, like 10 minutes in or whatever.
All right, Steve Jobs. Just one more thing. Let's go. What is it?
At the end of it, the grand prize at the end of the month. And remember, any entries over the course of the whole month count for this.
Okay, can I guess what it is?
You can.
Is it a Toyota Corolla?
It is not a Toyota Corolla.
I'm not interested. I don't care. I don't care about
you could this probably, thing. You could probably sell this to buy a Toyota Corolla. It is, step one, a unlimited Black Lotus.
I mean, you can get a Toyota Corolla out of that for sure, right? What conditions it is it? Unless it's like, you know, unless
it is two halves of an unlimited Black Lotus.
Has been ripped in half and sticky taped back together. You can definitely cash that one in for a Toyota Corolla. All right, next one.
It is a sealed Welcome to Wraith first edition booster box.
How many Toyota Corollas can you fit in that bad boy?
I think it's worth a squillion dollars.
Jeez. All right, okay. All right.
Let me.
Don't do the Dennis. We were going so well. Dennis is off Googling now. Oh, no, we've already lost
it. That's well north of 1,000. And Riley, the last one.
Okay.
You could live your childhood dreams, Riley.
First edition. No. Don't tell me. I'm going to guess. Is it, Dennis, a first edition Toyota? No, is it a Charizard?
It's a Charizard. It's a first edition 1999 base set Charizard. Base set first edition 1999 Pokemon Charizard.
What condition? Is it slabbed?
I don't know. I don't know if any unslabbed ones exist.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I don't know the condition off the top of my head.
Okay, all right.
I'm sure we have it somewhere.
All right. Well, I'm very excited to hear that you can win a proxy Toyota Corolla. Because that's
one step away from your Toyota Corolla.
One step away from the greatest desire of all of
new
our hearts.
New Toyota Corolla. How much does a new Toyota Corolla cost? Yeah,
let's find out, dude. Hey, I'll take a second.
€27,000.
I mean, if the Black Lotus is, as you say, anything other than ripped in half, I imagine you're going to get a long way to a brand new Toyota Corolla.
I mean, depending on the payment plan, you're going to get a lot of the way there, yeah.
Absolutely. And the Charizard. Didn't the Charizard sell for like $250,000 recently or something like that?
Oh, Charizards are worth squillions.
And then I remember looking this up, because it was that idiot, the YouTube, what's his name?
Logan Paul.
That's right, him. He wore one, which I did think admittedly was kind of cool. So I looked up how much my Blastoise was worth. Turns out Blastoise is not as popular as Charizard.
No, sir.
Unfortunately. Especially not the busted up version that I have back at home. Oh, my goodness. I remember Ryan. What was his name? He was in the year below me. Ryan brought a Charizard into school, and we were like rabid animals around him, just trying to catch a glimpse of it, right? His mum wouldn't let him play with it. His mum knew what was up. Now that I think about it, right? Like, he wasn't allowed to play with it. He could only show it to people when she was there because she was worried about it getting stolen. His mum knew. Ryan's mum was very smart.
I mean, clearly, like, prescient about the value of these cards in the future, right?
Exactly. Well, that's Ryan's, you know, entire future taken care of with that bloody Charizard. Anyway, Dennis, should we get into the advice? We've got a lot of questions to get through as ever. We've
done a lot of shilling for Age of Empires and, you know, for Red Bull and FJohnFireball.com. But yes, we should get into helping, giving back, give something back.
I'll talk to the Red Bull people and see if we can pick them up as a sponsor. What do you think?
That'd be great. I mean, I think I'd like it. I like Red Bull, unironically. Well,
I'm not huge on Red Bull.
You're not huge on energy drinks. You're out of the market. It's something
I'm just
like Red
that's
Bull.
The thing. Like, it's not like I have a preference for energy drinks. I just don't really like them. But the fridges here, obviously, infinite Red Bull. But they have now I really sound like I'm. This sounds like a radio. Did you know, Dennis, that they have another range? They have a full range of soft drinks.
I did not know that.
Did you not know this?
Do they have an offer?
There is Red Bull Cola. There is Red Bull
Oh, bitter yes, lemon, I did know that.
Tonic
yes.
water, ginger
watermelon
ale.
And stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and like I've been sucking back, like, honestly, I think it's called Red Bull Black Orange. It's really good. It's like a San Pellegrino. I'm into it.
I have San Pellegrino stocked in the house when you come over in 10 days, dude.
Very good. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to do Smile Live. I'm looking forward to that a lot. Anyway, let's get to our questions here. This podcast proudly brought to you by Channel Fireball and provisionally brought to you by the smooth taste of Red Bull Black Orange.
From the Red Bull Organic range.
Our first one comes to us from Eldrazi Ravnica. Long time, good time. Let's get into it here. I have a board game related question that I hope Riley and that other guy can answer. Get it up, well, Dennis. I was playing Unstable Unicorns with some friends, including my younger sister, who's 12. The game is surprisingly very similar to Magic, and I was accused during the game of being too competitive, especially when I used what was basically a one-sided humility on my sister? Wow,
you did your sister. I have played this game. This game is poorly balanced.
You did your sister so dirty there with a one-sided humility. That's how you're going to do it? Oh, my goodness me. She also didn't like all the Magic terms that I used when describing what my cards did, such as tutor. Was I the magical asshole for playing with a competitive MTG mindset? What should I do for games like this in the future? And how does your answer change if I'm not playing with my younger sister? Can I say I am so guilty of doing that thing when explaining like game rules to other Magic players? I'm like, all right, so this one's kind just of cry. Like an, this yeah. one's like an enchantment, right? It'll stick around, but like that's a sorcery. Like you just play it, that happens once, and then that's it. Like I do that sort of thing all the time. I don't think that is necessarily a bad thing, but I mean, beating your child sister into the dirt because you're better at card games.
If your question has it was towards this person (12), am I an asshole? The answer is usually yes.
Usually, you probably are. Yeah. It's so tough though. Like I don't think
it
I don't
is
think
tough it, to turn it off. I agree.
I like even if you were the asshole, being an accidental asshole is certainly forgivable. I don't think you got up in the morning and was like, all right, well, time to strap on the old asshole hat here because I'm going to get straight into it.
It is tough, and we've talked about this a lot in the podcast, to turn off the like analytical brain, and we usually talk about it from the perspective of ruining, you know, other games. But I do not think it is tough to not say, to say look up or search for instead of tutor. I do not think that is tough.
No, and I think the two problems go hand in hand. You know, your inability, or not your, sorry, sounds like we're having a go at you, our Magic player's inability to switch off the hardcore, spiky, analytical persona is made worse when you don't switch off the lingo, right? Like when you sit there using all of this Magic terminology, it only makes you sound like more of a, you know, a spiky competitive player. So people are, so I think pulling back on the language actually will have an impact there, but you've also got to kind of chill a little bit when playing games like this. What is this game like? I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's not great. I didn't love it. Okay. And I've only played it once, and often I get it mixed up with Exploding Kittens a lot.
Okay. Sounds like it's the same kind of energy, to be honest.
I think they're both from the oatmeal. Right. But maybe they aren't. In any case, I didn't love it, but it is vaguely magic-y in how you play it, and there's a lot of magic terms and things like that.
Yeah.
But look, if you're playing with your 12-year-old sister, you got to be playing not even to have fun. You got to be playing for her to have fun.
That's a good point, actually. That's a good mindset shift, right? Because like we often say on this podcast, is only game why you have to be mad. But like you're playing with a kid, and you've got to facilitate their fun. That should be a priority.
Yeah, you've had 20 or 30 years to have your fun before you became a jaded, rotten old podcast listener. She still has sparkle in her eyes, man. Let her hold on to that a little longer. Don't humiliate her into the dirt.
Just let her sparkle. And the other thing is, that's how you breed, you know, the new generation of true gamers, is not by boxing them out, by making them feel like games are hopeless. So, no, look, you definitely got to chill, and it's hard. Like, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do. One thing that I used to do, so I used to play card games with the kids that I used to teach, right? And I would just handicap myself. Instead of playing to lose, I would be like, right, you start with 7 cards, I'm going to start with 5. Let's see if I can beat you.
Some kids won't respond well to that, though, right? They'll want to win a fair game.
That's true, but they're not going to win a fair game.
Because I guess that's fair.
Like they're not, right? And I think like one of the things, it depends on the kid, but like I remember playing with kids and it'd be like, oh, you keep winning all the time. It's like, all right, well, I'll do this and let's see if I can beat you then. And it becomes like a fun challenge for them, right? I don't know. It depends. It obviously depends from person to person, but you've got to find the right way to make sure. I think the way that, look, Dennis got it, right? You shouldn't be playing, your fun is secondary. When you play with a child, you should be ensuring that they're the ones that are having fun, because they're kids, man. Like that's what a kid deserves, as much fun as they can handle. It is tough to turn it off, though, eh?
Yeah, it is not easy. Right, we got a question here from Zap Brannigan.
All right, hit
are you future?
Go.
Are you a Futurama fan?
No, is that a Futurama reference?
It is a Futurama character, Zap Brannigan. Yes.
The only thing that here's my experience of Futurama. When I was a teacher, we obviously sat in a lot of meetings, and there would be a lot of very pointless decisions made in these meetings that I didn't really care about, but we still had to go through them. It would have just been easier if someone had been like, "This is what we're doing," instead of like trying to have everything signed off on by the entire team. It was nice to be collaborative, but this was like, what typeface should the newsletter be in? Right? That level of stuff. And so I ended up putting on my shortcuts toolbar, you know, at the top of your browser, right?
Yeah.
A YouTube link to the video of the guy who says, "I have no strong feelings one way or the other." And whenever they're like, "Riley, what do you think?" I would just be like, click, and my computer would play that soundbite.
Oh, Riley.
Go on.
We have a live question.
A live question? What's this?
What? A live question.
Oh, sorry, Zach.
Moshi Scanlon has just slacked me.
Okay.
Asking, real talk though, what the hell do I do with these dragon bones and dragon scales? Gaming advice.
He's talking about Skyrim.
He is.
Oh, dear. Well, I mean, this isn't a difficult one. You use them to make armor, dude.
How do you do that? Because I told him to just sell them.
You can just sell them. I mean, don't carry them around because they weigh 10 billion.
Put
them in a chest somewhere. If you're not going to get heavy, like, if he's not going to push all the way to the top of the armory tree, then there's no point in him having them.
To make the dragon armor, yeah,
because you can make I forget what it's called, dragon scale or dragon mail or something. I can't remember what it's called.
I always just sold them.
There's light and heavy. I mean, you could just. I mean, can't you just generate infinite dragons eventually? Like, isn't there a point in the game where just dragons spawn?
Oh, dragons just continue to spawn late in the game.
Yeah, they're like bloody mosquitoes. So, like, you don't run out of them. I don't know if he's
thanks.
Go ahead. If he's like me, put him in a chest. If he's like you, sell him. I don't think it matters too much.
Liquidate him. Yeah,
this is a 10-year-old game. But then again, I was covering a 20-year-old game.
20-year-old game. Get off your high horse.
All right. What's Zap Brannigan asking?
Zap Brannigan says, "Hey, Smart NTG question. How much research do you recommend prior to drafting a set you only expect to play once? An expert set like Tasmari Master, for example, or an older set you've never played before. Is it better to come in prepared to win, have an idea of the main archetypes, or go in blind and enjoy the new cards?"
Where do you land on this one? Because, well, I think that this sounds to me like someone has been like, "Hey, I got a box of this. Come around and draft it."
The second one. Have fun. Read the cards. Chill. If this is an event at your game store and you want to win packs, obviously do your research, I guess. But have fun. There is Ryan, you and I have talked this before. I have never had more fun than back when I was cracking packs having no idea what was going to be in them.
See, I think I personally would do a small amount of research.
I would read the flavor Wikipedia paragraph on the story of the set, and that's it.
Wow. Dennis is a filthy casual after all these years. I think I would be like, what are the main... Okay, so it's like blue-white flyers, all right, black-white life game, whatever, right? And I'm like, okay, sure. I wouldn't like read card evaluations or anything else like that, but I would want to know like what cards are important in which archetype, roughly. Not specifically, but generally, right? So if I see a black card that has something about life game, I mean, I guess broadly speaking, you always know that that's going to go in... in white,
black, white.
That's a bad example, but okay, here's an example. If I see a black card that has something to do with the graveyard, right? If I already know that like blue black is the graveyard and not green black, that'll give me a bit of an idea. But I think there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with going completely blind, especially if you're a person like Dennis, who that's where you get your fun from.
It is so rare. Like, you can always do the research. And look, there will be many times when Innistrad Midnight Hunt comes out here in a couple of days.
I see where you're going with this, and actually, I'm already.
There will be a 5th, a 10th, a 20th, a 30th draft of Innistrad Midnight Hunt. Your opportunities to go in blind are few and far between.
That's a really good point. The moment you do one draft,
it's over. Yeah,
that's it. You can't go in blind to that set again. So have the opportunity. You've changed my mind. You honestly have. I mean, this is assuming that Zap, your goal isn't to go in and like win. There's a $10,000 draft tournament at my LGS. Should I do?
Well, I mean, that's a crappy question. Oh, I really want to win this tournament. Should I prepare for it? Yes. Easy question.
Obviously, that's not what Zap's asking. But like, if it's just a casual time, like, you know, just hanging out and drafting with your mates, I've changed my mind completely. You only get to go in blind once. Enjoy that experience, because you can always do that. Even the small cursory amount of research that I had, I was going to do that for the second one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. No, I'm 100% on board. But Dennis, you've changed your mind. Enjoy a rare opportunity to have the first experience at something. Yeah. Good one. Good one, Dennis.
Good little bit of discourse. I like that.
Although, all right, we kind of made the mistake of like answering the question too quickly, so now we kind of like.
don't worry. We padded this episode with 15 minutes of ads, so I think we're good.
We're not going to have trouble in the straps. All right, I'll offer up the next question then. Instead, this one comes to us from Lil Sergeant Sandman, who asks, mm-hmm. "I have an am I the asshole video gaming question? It's been haunting me for years. Oh my goodness!
Oh wow!
I like playing video games with my friends. Wow, really? Are you a true gamer?
Hot take.
But I also enjoy, I actually truly enjoy only a small number of games. When it comes to about 90%, I will play only because my friends play them and now they're used to me playing with them. But unfortunately, now this is the standard, whenever they find a new game that they like and I refuse to play it since I don't like it, they say I'm being stubborn or the asshole because I haven't given it a fair chance. Especially when it's a free game that they can't, especially when it's a free game, they can't seem to see why I don't want to play with them. This happens a lot with shooters, as that's my least favorite type of multiplayer game. And is one of the most, is also one of the most popular. Currently, they're playing games like Splitgate and COD Warzone. Am I the asshole for not playing with them, even when it's free, if I don't like the game?
Riley, I thought you might be uniquely equipped to answer this question, considering I did this to you.
You're not, Little Sergeant Sandman, but in my experience, you also can't really be that upset that they don't like your lack of participation in it when
they want to play with you.
When
you
they're
know?
Making a good faith attempt to like connect with and have what they consider to be a good time with you. So I think you're perfectly at liberty to say, I don't want to play these games, but I think also your friends are at perfect liberty not to like that. I don't think they necessarily need to like name call or like say that you're stubborn or an asshole for doing that, but they're under no obligation to like be happy about your decision. You know, it's okay for you to like different things, but you, I don't know, agreeing to disagree often isn't as simple as this sort of stuff when it is amongst close friends, because I think one of the reasons that Dennis didn't like how much I disliked League was because he really just wanted me to enjoy myself.
Like, yeah, I really wanted you to be part of our friend group to play League together.
That's what I mean. Sorry, you wanted me to enjoy myself hanging out with friends. Yeah, and it didn't work. And I mean, let's hear it from your perspective. What are Little Sergeant Sandman's friends feeling like at the moment?
It's hard because, like, let's say there's five of you, right? And I picked that number because of League, but that's probably what the kind of numbers we're talking about here.
I don't know what the party size for COD Warzone is, but or like
Splitgate is, yeah.
Let's like assume like three or four.
And four of you like playing a game, and one of you doesn't, which is, it sounds like it's the case. They still want to be your friend, but the thing they want to do when they hang out is something you don't like doing, and that's difficult. It's not reasonable for them all to not do what they want to do so that they can hang out with you, but it's also not reasonable for them to force you to do stuff you don't want to do to hang out with them. And it's a little bit tricky, and it's gotten worse the last, you know, year when everyone's been stuck inside because it's not like we like playing golf. Oh, you know, Mick and Cameron are going to go play golf, but Little Sergeant Sandman and Riley are going to go rock climbing or whatever, because there's not as much of that stuff.
And you also don't have the opportunity of doing something that everyone likes, which is just like, I don't know, going and getting a meal or like having a walk in a park or a picnic or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I guess you can just sit and talk on Discord. I've tried that. I didn't love it. So it's a really tough situation.
I have friends who love just hanging out in Discord while other people play games, and I don't really understand it.
I don't get it, but maybe you could do that. I don't know. Like, is that something? It sounds like you're very picky or particular with the games that you like to play, and certainly there's nothing wrong with that. But how would you feel, Sandman, if they're playing casually and just like, you know, talking nonsense and catching up and whatever, if they're not like super dialed in, you're not going to be distracting.
If you play Forza and Microsoft Flight Simulator, who cares?
Like, if you're just sitting there and hanging out and like chiming in, it still kind of counts as that social time that you probably want to have with your friends. But, and every, you know, little while they're being like, oh, no, we got to push me into a top or whatever. Like, that sort of stuff, that's fine. Like, that happens in your League Discord, I know. Like, Jeff or someone will just come and they'll be playing a different game and just or not even playing a game, like just hanging out, and they'll chime in and chat and be around, and it's not ideal, but it's better than nothing.
I think that's fine. But like, it's a difficult situation, and you are certainly not an asshole. I can't speak for them being assholes, not, I don't have enough information. But in my experience, wait it out. Most of these things blow over. Currently it's Splitgate and COD Warzone. It's going to be something else eventually. Now, the problem is it's going to be shooters a lot of the time. But so look, I don't know what comfort I can offer you there.
Well, I think what you say is like, hey, you guys have been playing shooters a long time. You know I don't like them. Could we perhaps try out a game that's going to be a little more suited to me, right?
Now,
and that sounds very selfish way of putting it. Could we try out this game that I've already tried and is really good?
So, Little Sergeant Sandman, follow up. If you get into the Discord and submit a question to the game here, what kind of games do you like to play? What do you? Because that's going to affect my answer here. Because there are fun games that you can play that are not shooters. Like, I had huge fun playing Civilization online with my friends.
Yep.
Real fun game, real good at making stories with it, you know? I've had a lot of fun playing back in the day when people played Among Us, you know? Social deduction games are great for that kind of stuff.
Sea of Thieves is also a good option if you just like want a very casual, just mucking about experience like that. There are a lot of options, and I think you just have to sort of steer the conversation towards, once COD Warzone begins to wind down, be ready. Is that what you're saying, Dennis? Like, be ready with it, with the suggestion, and then you can try to hook people into.
You know, two of my friends right now are in Discord playing Return of the Obra Dinn together.
Oh my goodness, what a game, dude! And they're playing it for the first time.
First time.
I'm so jealous. I wish I could just Eternal
Sunshine. You can hop in here after what if you want and come see.
I wish I could play it for the first time again, man. Oh, dude, that's like the same thing I did. Question. Yeah, don't go to Obra Dinn. Look up the archetypes.
I mean, that's the best advice I can offer you, Sergeant Sandman, but I would love to hear what kind of games you do like to play. And now, if he comes back and is like, you know, Mavis speaking typing tutor, it's going to be a problem. But broadly speaking, I think we can come to an answer.
Yeah, I think so. And don't like turn yourself into a pariah over this, you know, and don't let, like, it depends how they're couching their response to this, but you're friends, and that's what's important at the end of the day. None of you should be being abrasive. None of you should be pushing the other way. It's a frustrating situation for everyone. You know, I've been through this. Dennis and I have been through this. It tested our friendship a little bit. You know, I don't think it was ever going to be the end of it, but certainly it was very strained. He's like, just play League, man. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. I'm like, I know I'm not going to have a good time, but I don't want to be the rain on this parade. But then I ended up being the rain on the parade anyway because I joined and had a terrible time, and so did everyone else because
I was
being a bummer. So, like, I think there's a mutual responsibility, and this is something that Dennis is good with this sort of stuff generally. Like, when you put the problem to him, he'll think about it in reasonable terms. And I said to him, like, I know you think that I'm just being really negative about League, but like, you are contributing to me being negative about it because you just won't let it go. Like, I can't win. When you're like, come and play League, it'll be great. I can't win because either I let you down by not playing, or I let you down by playing and having a bad time. So the answer is I just have to stop playing it, right?
And it's something Nikki and I have had trouble with in our relationship, where, like, let's say we want to Nikki wants to go see a movie, for example, that I don't really want to go. And she'll be like, oh my God, can we go and see a movie, whatever. And I'll be like, yeah, sure. And she'll be like, no, but I want you to want to. Yes. And I'm like, well, I can't help you there.
It's just not possible, you know? All the time, you know? Yeah. So keep that in mind and try to make sure the discourse stays positive. And I guess, be the one to proactively suggest the next game that they play. And hopefully they'll be, you know, if they're good friends, they'll listen and they'll take that on board. I'm pretty sure that I could pitch any game to Dennis and he would at least give it a go. Whether it sticks or not, that's another matter. But hey, you've got to offer them the same opportunity to enjoy or not enjoy a game. Same as you. So I hope that helps. And as Dennis said, let us know what sort of games you're into, and maybe we could get a more concrete answer here.
Still waiting on Riley to give Death Stranding a go. But anyway, got another question here from Mallow, man.
Never happening, mate. Let's go.
A little bit more directed at you here, I think. Following on from the colorblind chat, what tabletop or video games have you had particularly good or bad experiences with and why? They go on to say, I had no idea how many games were bad for it until my friend Jay said he couldn't play Five Tribes or someone with red-green colorblindness, and I can see why. And I've not played games with Jay for a while, and I want to know what games to avoid or go for with people with such an accessibility need.
I wish I'd read this question ahead of time so I could have prepared a better list. Maybe I'm going to be able to come back with an actual proper thing here. I can definitely
see. I remember you playing Resident Evil and that was posting a picture of like a color puzzle that was a 3x3 square with red, green, and blue colored in boxes, and you were like, this is impossible.
That's what I was going to point out there. The wire puzzle in Among Us as well. I mean, not that that was a crucial bit of gameplay or whatever, but
they fixed that in the end.
They did, which is good. And there's definitely more awareness of it. I've actually, like, I don't know. I would love to get into like colorblind consulting. I think that'd be really good. I'd love to do that. I've kind of offered as a joke on my stream, I'll do it for like $1 a day or something. But I feel like I would. I feel like I could help out game devs with this sort of stuff. So,
in terms of board games, I remember playing Risk once with Ashin, a friend of mine who you've met a couple of times, who was also colorblind. And we were playing Risk. This was probably a decade ago. And he was fighting with something in Asia. And he was like, okay, great, cool. I'm still good. I still got all these trips over here. And Derek was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, well, I got all these troops over here. And Derek was like, those are my troops. And she was like, what do you mean?
Oh,
and
my Derek goodness. Goes,
my troops are the dark blue troops. Yeah. Your troops are the gray troops. Yeah. And she was like, are you kidding
yeah.
me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, this sort of stuff is just horrendous, you know. And there are games that are really good. Like, I'll give you a great example. Settlers of Catan, right?
Mm.
Fantastic. Because the four main colors, I believe off the top of my head, it is white, orange, blue, and red.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wrong, I'm a fake gamer fan forever, I guess, but I believe that's the case.
No, you can just say you saw them differently because you're colorblind.
Oh, dude. I wish I had a brain that worked like yours, Dennis. Dennis is the slipperiest snake. He can get out of anything. Yeah, so if I'm wrong, then obviously it's my disability. Perfect, right? You can't really mix those up. Orange is way lighter than the red. There's no purple or blue. There's no green or anything orange to mix up with. Another safe color there is yellow as well. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But then with the 5 and 6 player expansion, what are the colors they bring in? Green. So impossible. But Settlers of Catan, the base game, is really, really good for that. Another game, and I know that this is sort of where we're heading into shaky territory here, Dennis, but the video game that has the very best colorblind setting of them all is Overwatch.
Ooh.
Yes.
Pro Blizzard supporter Riley.
Yes. Here it is. I'm obviously not. I mean, I haven't played. It's funny. I was streaming a couple of weeks ago, and I like to rate Adam because he usually streams at a time where, like, when I'm finishing up, he's on, right? So I'll often rate him. He's playing Dark Dungeon or Darkest Dungeon or like Final Fantasy, whatever. I was like halfway through typing his name. Like, I noticed, he's streaming. Oh, okay. He's streaming Diablo 2. No, we'll. we'll go somewhere else.
Right, you would like to praise Activision Blizzard for their tolerance and sensitivity is what I'm getting at, is right?
Dennis, I'm absolutely not coming on this journey with you. Dennis, you know that it's gonna be midnight, you're gonna send me this WAV file, I'm gonna have to edit it and put this out. I really don't want you to paint me into a corner, you dude. No, certainly I'll put it this way. I have not played a Blizzard game for a long time.
Companies with shitty political policies can make good video games.
It's true, but I mean, I'm obviously not in support of Activision Blizzard with any of the stuff that's come out recently.
Speaking to the audience at home, Riley is never a threat for these things. Riley is so... Like, I cannot imagine what heaven and earth they would have to move to get you to spend money on loot boxes for Overwatch, man. I don't know, like,
oh, yeah. I mean, that's
what arcane spell.
But even just, like, having them on my computer, I was like, no, I can uninstall this. I'm not interested in even giving them my time or attention here. Anyway, Overwatch, for what it's worth, does have the best colorblind mode of any video game I've ever played, because instead of, like, in Apex Legends, it's like, oh, you want to use colorblind mode? Great. Here, pick from one of these four preset modes, two of which don't do anything at all, and the other two just make it harder in a different way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
can't tell the reds and greens apart. Well, you can't tell the blues and grays apart.
Exactly, right? Whereas Overwatch is just like, what color do you want this to be? What color do you want enemies to be? What color do you want heroes that need heal, like allies that need heals to be? What color do you want this to be? What you pick and we'll make it work, right? So instead of the heroes having impossible to see red outlines, I made them all bright yellow. And my allies went from, I just matched like what I thought their health bars were with the, whatever, when they go down to critical or whatever. So that for me was a terrific colorblind sensitive experience. I wish more games were like that. I wish less companies were like Activision Blizzard, for the record.
For everything else, yeah.
But another really excellent game that I can recommend for the colorblind is it's not a two-player game, so I don't think you're going to be able to play with him. I am assuming here with empirical data to back up that Jay is male. This is not me. It is still an assumption of someone's gender, I guess. But
no, this says until my friend Jay said he couldn't.
Okay,
play.
Fine. The pronouns are in there. That's fine.
Pronouns are in there.
But colorblindness hardly ever affects females. It only really affects males.
That's true.
It's the tiniest fraction of a percentage that ever affects females. I don't think I've ever met a colorblind woman. I'd be very excited to, because they're just. Like, you meet blokes like, oh, yeah, of course, yeah, colorblind, whatever else like that, but it's so rare because genetically the genes that carry colorblindness are carried by women and given to – they're carried on the X chromosome and display on the Y chromosome. So it skips a generation. It's fascinating. The genetics are fascinating to it. Anyway, point is Jay could enjoy playing the Outer Worlds. Outer Worlds?
Out of Wilds. I always mix them up. But
Alien one or Rick and Morty Space one?
Rick and Morty Space one, I guess. What?
That's the Outer World. Time loop or no time loop?
No time loop. The one where you play as a human, not a weird alien. Yeah, Outer Worlds. And do you know why that game is so colorblind friendly? Huh. The lead designer was colorblind. There are no color cues in the entire game. None at all. It is 100. There is no colorblind mode needed because there is nothing that relies on color to get you through the game. So
very strong.
Well, I don't know. Did you play that game?
No, I did not.
Everyone that I've spoken to who played it didn't notice. You don't need color cues to make a game good. You don't need them. And that game is The Outer Worlds is living proof of that. Dennis, I'm crashing hard. We got to finish this podcast off, dude. I know you've got a game you want to talk about.
I got one more thing I want to bring up.
Okay, go ahead. Scrymy Charizard, Age of Empires.
Why you are fading fast?
Age of Empires 2, love it. I really want to, like, I don't know if I want to get good at it. I've been playing it with a view to try to, like, at least have a baseline technical understanding of the game. Getting good at it is another matter entirely. I'm sure we'll have more Age of Empires 2. Chat, Dennis, what do you got for us?
Deathloop came out. I got it. It's great. Rather, you'd love it. You should get it.
Isn't it just like Spicy Dishonored or less Spicy Dishonored even?
The game moment-to-moment gameplay is almost exactly half Hitman, half Dishonored.
Okay, well, the Hitman thing is definitely interesting to me because I love that game.
But so the premise of the game, and there's been a million trailers for it, but the actual like core thing that you're trying to do is there's these four, I think, different zones and four different times of day. There might be more than four zones, actually. So there's morning, noon, afternoon, night.
Okay.
And every day, everything resets.
Yep.
So, but then there's Hades like progression because you get this this resource called Residium that you can use to imbue items with it to make them persist through the loop. Mm-hmm. So you keep this gun or you keep this ability, et cetera, et cetera. So the goal is to kill these eight visionaries who are these your eight targets spread out over the course of the day within one time loop, which at the start of the game is impossible.
Like actual impossible and or like actual will impossible speedrunners figure out how to do it?
Oh, maybe they will. I'm not sure. But it might actually be impossible. So the biggest resource is information. You know that target A is in zone one in the morning.
Yeah,
but if you do something in zone one, you can get target A to be in the same place as targets B and C in the afternoon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the game is just a huge fractalized game of that.
It's Hitman, man, dude. It's Hitman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
A lot more eavesdropping, a lot more figuring out conversations, a lot more like minor mechanical spoiler, I suppose, for Deathloop. A character was invited to an event and chose not to go because they discovered something in their area in the morning. So you go, you scupper that discovery so it doesn't happen, so they will be at that event later in the day.
Right.
And the game is all that sort of stuff, which I get. I don't know if I haven't finished it, so I don't know if the goal is to get all eight into one place at the end or to just get, you know, the eight through over the course of the day. I imagine it's actually the latter. And that's how the game works. And but then moment to moment, it is Dishonored. You have the blink ability is still there. It's exactly the same as it ever was.
Yep.
You tether people together with, you know, things so that when you shoot one, they both die, etc. You run and gun, you jump, you vault, you slide, all that stuff. It is very, very Arkane Studios. But I've been loving it so far. I'm maybe 6 or 7 hours in, and I guess I'll update you again next week. But you should definitely give it a shot.
Do you know what I'm really enjoying about Deathloop? Having never played it and having not bought it, I've looked at a little bit, all this sort of stuff, right? I'm talking to the listener now, not to you, Dennis. When Dennis wants me to play a game, as you've noticed, he is indefatigable. He will nag me until my resolve is broken and I will do it just to shut him up, right? I'm holding out. We're still going strong with Death Stranding. That is a bastion upon which the waves of Dennis's pressure will hold, right? These waves will not break that right? But there are other games, other pieces of media that Dennis will just... I will just do it just to placate him. Dennis is currently doing that with me with Deathloop. I think if we go through our message history, I think he has reminded me 3 times at a minimum as to how good it is, right? And that I should get it.
Hang on. You had asked me about... before it came out, you asked me if I thought it was going to be good and whether or not you should get it.
Yes, I did. Just a thing that friends do, like with a dialogue, you know? What do you think of this video game, right? So Dennis went on to get the game and has now barraged me at least, I would say, daily as to how good this game is, right? The pleasure I'm getting out of this is that I'm going to... Don't listen, Dennis.
You're going to play it anyway.
I'm going to play.
I'm going to play it. I like the look of it, right? I thought I was kind of disappointed. I was like, oh, maybe it's not that good. It's
Dishonored. Well, here's the thing. I was also, I was interested.
Listening. You're not supposed to be listening to what I'm saying.
I'm sorry. I'm very rude. I'm out of an eavesdropping. I was going to get it, and then there were so many trailers for it.
Yeah.
Every PlayStation showcase or anything I watched had another trailer for Deathloop. Even the one that was 4 days before Deathloop came out had a new trailer for Deathloop. And I was like, I am out.
Yeah.
And then Monday rolled around, the game came out on Tuesday. Monday rolled around, and IGN gave it a 10 out of 10. GameSpot gave it a 10 out of 10. Kind of funny, we're raving about it in the podcast. And I was like, oh, God, maybe we'll just get the game. And I'm glad I did.
It is funny because those trailers actually kind of put me off a little bit. I'm like, ah, all right.
Me too, dude.
I've kind of seen all I need to see here. I don't want to play this game. But then, yeah, like, again, Dennis, don't listen. I'm going to play this game, but I'm going to make Dennis feel like he's the reason I'm playing it. So he gets what he wants, which is the win of, like, influencing me into playing a game, right? I get what I want because, like, I can soak up this. Okay, Dennis nagging me about Deathloop means he's not nagging me about Death Stranding. So that's a win for me.
A different game in the Death series, yeah.
Death Stranding, Deathloop.
Legends is the most confusing series to me. League of and Apex, radically different games.
Yeah, very, very strange. I don't know what the common.
But Riley, we can play Deathloop together.
Wait, what? Really?
Deathloop has one additional mechanic, which is this sort of Dark Souls-like mechanic.
Someone comes into your world as Juliet or Juliana or whatever.
Can be a different person. I'm going to hunt you down, bro.
Okay. And it all becomes clear. It all becomes clear.
I'm playing while you're over there in the castle. I'm honing my skills. Yeah. While you were busy playing Age of Empires, I was studying the Deathloop.
And this is why, and now, my friends, we all learn the truth behind why Dennis wants me to play this game. It's so he can snipe me as Juliana. All right. Well played, Dennis. And I've already admitted, got it on record, that I'm going to play Deathloop. I probably will play Deathloop. I don't have a PS5.
I'll get up in the morning and play it with you, dude. No problem.
It's not on...
It's on PC.
Is it on PC already?
It launched on PC.
I only got a 970. I wonder if I can run it. We'll see. Anyway, that is a future Riley's problem because I'm not. I won't be back at my PC for another. We have to talk about this. Our 100th episode is next week, Dennis. Dennis,
yeah.
Let's
smack up on us.
Let's go through all the things that we've got planned. Are you ready? Here they are. Mm-hmm.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Like actual nothing. Like we have actual nothing planned for it. Probably episode. We're thinking episode 101.
Yeah, started season 2 this morning.
Because we'll actually be in the same place, in the meat space. I'm coming over to visit Dennis after this Germany trip.
You can try Deathloop.
I will. I'll try Deathloop. It'll be great fun, and we'll organize some cool stuff for episode 101. If there's anything you want to hear, but like, we're sorry to do it to you, but we just episode 100 next week. I'm going to be hiking in the mountains, and Dennis is going to be just like working. So it's going to be a regular ep, I think, because we just don't have the time to.
We talked about Riley recording it from a beer hall in the middle of Bavaria. Probably not a good idea.
Realize some of the issues that would be that would come along with that. So you know, first of all, podcasting with a mask on probably isn't going to be very much fun. But no, look, we'll try to figure out some cool stuff to do at episode 101, and let us know. Discord bit.ly/join Riley's Discord if you've got ideas. Let me make it clear. The vinyl is not happening. That is a non-starter. This isn't one of those things where like, oh, and one more thing. Guess what? The vinyl happened. It's not. Don't get your hopes up. But do let us know what you want. And I think that's it. Let's wrap it up, Jenna, so I can go to bed.
All right. I'm glad we're keeping the vinyl surprise. Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Oh, my goodness. There's no vinyl. Let me make that clear. There's no vinyl.
Good night, everybody.